Supper sat uneasily in her stomach. She sat in the crowded little wardroom, not really listening to the others talk. It was mostly guesses about where they were and when they would arrive and how long it would take to convene the court. Who would sit on it? Who would represent them? How much trouble this would cause them in the future.
Not as much as being under Captain Hearn if she'd gotten away with it.
Esme hadn't meant to say anything, but she knew she was the only one really at risk in court. And here they were chattering away as if all that mattered was a possible black mark that might keep them from promotion ahead of their group. They stared at her.
What do you mean? Hearn couldn't have gotten away with it. Not unless she took the ship straight over to the Benignity.
Liam Lavati's jaw dropped, and he suddenly looked pale.
Exactly. She could have done that, if Dovere and the other Loyalists hadn't stopped her. And we could all be Benignity prisoners.
Dead, or worse than. The others looked at her as if she had suddenly sprouted a full suit of battle armor with weaponry.
Or she could have told Fleet that Harris Serrano was the traitor. The accusations were false, and she had fled to save her ship and crew from a maniac. She could have assumed that no one could defeat a Benignity assault group with only two warships.
And even Harris Serrano had not done so. Esme had recognized the peril even as she ended it. Without her own decisive entry into battle, Serrano would have perished, and all witnesses to Hearn's treachery with her. Peli and Liam looked at Esme with more respect than she'd had from them yet, even in battle.
Oh, I never thought of all that. It never occurred to me that Hearn could have gotten away with it, but you're right. We might not even have known. Only those on the bridge actually heard Captain Serrano's challenge. If one more bridge officer had been a Benignity agent...
Liam rumpled his Lavati red hair.
We'd be dead.
Ooh.
I don't like the thought that I might have disappeared that way.
Surely they'd have ransomed us. I know my family...
Traitors. I suppose your family does business with them, eh?
Arpan jumped up, eyes blazing.
I don't have to be insulted by people like you.
As a matter of fact, you do. I outrank you, trade-born infant. You're still just an ensign, in case you hadn't noticed.
This Esme could handle.
No quarreling. Lavati, he can't help who his family is. Arpan, Lavati is your senior. Show respect.
Ooh, the ex-captain remembers the feel of command.
As a matter of fact, I do. And keeping you juniors from messing each other's uniforms is easier than fighting a battle. Shall we keep it that way?
Expressions ranging from surprise to satisfaction met her gaze. She kept the smile on her face, and eventually they all smiled back.
Sure, Esme. I'm sorry, Arpan. I shouldn't have chosen this time, if any, to slang your family. Lieutenant Suiz is right. Friends?
Lavati held out his hand. Arpan, still scowling, finally shook it. It did not escape Esme's notice that Lavati had chosen a combination of address which claimed her as a friend while emphasizing her authority to Arpan. She could do that sort of thing if she thought of it, but she had to think. Liam Lavati and the others born into Fleet families seemed to do it as naturally as breathing. The conference room had been swept and garnished, ensuring that it was empty of the security demons whose probing eyes and ears, and busy tongues, would have had a field day. Outside, two offices away, an efficient receptionist would deal with any calls. The rest of the staff were busy on assigned projects. The three partners who had formed Special Materials Analysis Consulting looked at the moment more like business rivals than old friends. Arhas Asperson, short, compact, dark-haired, leaned forward, elbows on the polished table, as Gori Lansimir reported on the results of clandestine research. Across from him, Losa Aguilar lay back in her chair, consciously opposing him in gesture as in attitudes. The lounging posture did not suit her. With her lean body went an energy usually expressed in action.
You were right, Arhas. In-house projections at Kalmori are that demand will rise steeply, especially for repeat procedures where the last procedure used drugs from a questionable source.
In other words, last week's blip in the price of a first-time rejuvenation wasn't a blip at all.
Gori pointed to details in the chart he'd displayed.
No. Ever since the king resigned, there's been talk about adulteration of the components. The shakeup in the Moraline family holdings suggests to me it may be even bigger than what's alleged in the suits already filed.
I suppose we should be glad we didn't get ours done last year.
Arhas looked at Aguilar. Had there been a hint of smugness in her tone? Probably. Losa enjoyed rightness as a personal fiefdom. Usually he didn't mind, but when she disagreed with him, that buzzsaw certainly hurt.
Not to our credit, since we couldn't afford them last year. Or this, with the price increase. I suppose we could get one of us done.
Arhas glanced at his partners. Gori might go along with that, but Losa never would. Nor would he himself, unless he was the one to get rejuve.
No, for the same reasons we didn't pool funds to do one of us last year.
You don't have to make your distrust quite so obvious. I wasn't suggesting it, only pointing out that we could afford only one this year, too. It's taken us 5 years to save up that much, and with the price expected to rise steeply...
We need more contracts. Surely with all that's happening in the fleet right now, we can find a niche?
We should have an advantage. We shouldn't be under any suspicion like the major suppliers and consulting firms.
That might help.
Arhas had his doubts. Somehow, even when the witch hunters were out, the good old firm seemed to find a safe hideout.
We do good work. We've had fleet contracts through Miziani, if anyone notices the sub-subcontractors at a time like this.
That's what you're worried about? That we're not noticeable enough?
In a way. The thing is, they have no way of knowing whether we subs perform well because we're good, or because we're under the thumb of the main contractor. Thus, no reason to trust us on our own.
We've had a few, but not enough of the juicy ones. Our profit margin's too low.
No, and the real problem, I'm convinced, is that we aren't rejuved yet. The big firms all have rejuved executives now.
We're not that old.
No, but Gori's not as boyishly cute anymore. None of us look like bright young kids. Look, Losa, we've been over this before.
And I didn't like it then.
Losa had abandoned the fake slouch for her more normal upright posture. He had never seen anyone but a dancer with such a back and neck. He could remember the feel of it under his hands. But that had been years ago. Now they were only partners in work. He pulled his mind away from the thought of Losa rejuved to, perhaps, 18.
Look, it's simple. If we want to survive in this field, we have to convince clients we're successful. Successful consultants are rich, and rich people are rejuved. We're still getting contracts, but not the best contracts. In 10 years, the kind of contracts we're getting will go to the new bright young things, or to our present competitors who've managed to afford rejuve.
Well, we could cut back.
They had discussed this before. Even Gori didn't really want to live like an impoverished student again.
No. It's suicide either way. To save out enough for rejuve, even one at a time, we'd have to cut expenses. This office, for one. And that would make us look like losers. We need to rejuve, all of us, within the next 5 years. With the revelations about those contaminated drugs, the price will go up and stay up just when we need it most.
Which comes down to more contracts. Except that we can't do more without hiring more, and that drives our cost up.
Maybe. We need some new ideas. Contracts that will give us a higher margin of profit and not require any more expenditures.
From your tone, I'd gather you already have some.
Well, yes. There are specialties which pay a much higher rate, for which we are already qualified.
Industrial sabotage? We don't want to try that with Fleet. Not with the current mood.
Public opinion's on their side right now because of the Xavier affair. That Serrano woman is a hero. But in the long run, what they'll remember is one hero and three traitors.
And we're to be traitors, too.
No, not traitors, but... None of us got into this work because of any particular love for the Familius bureaucracy. Remember why we left General Control Systems? And then, as subcontractors, we've had the same piles of paperwork.
You're talking about working outside Familius space? Won't that just mean a whole new set of paper pushers to contend with?
Not necessarily. Not everyone outside is tangled in red tape as the Familius. And it isn't necessarily against Familius interests. At least, I don't see it that way.
You want rejuvenation.
Yes, and so do you, Losa. So does Gori. None of us have been able to increase our profits within the confines of fleet contracts and subcontracts. Too many fish in this pond, many of them with more teeth. So either we give up our ambitions, which I, for one, am not willing to do, or we find another pond. Ideally, a pond that connects with this one, so we don't lose all the goodwill we've built.
All right, Arhas, just tell us.
We have a potential client who would like to have us disable a self-destruct device on a service ship.
Whose service ship? Fleets?
Fleets.
Not blow it up, just disable its self-destruct.
Right.
Why?
In this kind of situation, it's not my business why. Though I could speculate, I'd rather not.
And who is this potential client?
He didn't say whom he worked for, but a little discreet data probe allowed me to estimate a very high probability that he's an agent for Athar's world.
You were talking to the Blood Horde?
Can we trust him?
Not really, but the offer was generous, and I suspect we can work up from it. He didn't sound as firm as he thought.
What kind of service ship?
A deep space repair ship, one of those floating ship factories crewed like an orbital station. Why anyone would put a self-destruct on it in the first place, I can't understand. Sounds dangerous to me. What if the captain goes crazy? And they want it disabled, is all.
Oh, I hate the idea of dealing with the Blood Horde. And here we're talking about 20 or 30,000 people.
Military personnel, not ordinary people. They signed up for the risk. That's what they're paid for. And we need the cash. If we don't get the new rejuve procedure soon...
But the Blood Horde Arhas! All those hairy, beefy types with their destiny garbage, they belong back on their home planet, whacking each other with clubs and sitting around drunk singing.
Of course they do, Losa. They're barbarians, and we all know it. That's why I'm not worried. Fleet will be able to contain them just as they always have. And this job doesn't require us to damage Fleet.
Disabling a ship system?
A system that's never been used and never will be. DSRs never get into combat anyway, so I don't know why they even have self-destruct devices. I'd think they'd go the other way, make it impossible to blow them up. But apparently they do have such things, and the person who contacted me wanted it turned off.
It's obvious, Arhas, you can see.
Arhas held up his hand.
I don't want to see. Speculate, rather. It will have no effect on the DSR's function as a repair and maintenance facility. It won't kill anyone. It won't do anything but keep some ham-handed ensign from blowing the ship up by accident. In a way, you could think of our action as damage control. And the good news is, they offered, before I started dickering, a fee that will cover rejuvenation for two of us. I got them up another half mil, and that means we have enough for all three of us. Net, not gross. After the job, of course.
The complete...
You, with the newest certified drugs. A margin for inflation while the job's on.
Rejuve. Just like that Lady Cecilia.
Yes. I thought you'd see it that way.
Arhas cocked his head at Gori.
And you?
I don't like the Blood Horde, what I've heard about them, but, probably most of it's propaganda anyway. If they were so quarrelsome and technologically backward, they wouldn't have been able to hold their empire together the past century. I suppose it's in a solid currency?
Yes.
Well, then I don't see a problem, as long as it's within our technical expertise. As you said, it's not like we're actually doing any damage to a ship or to people's lives. A self-destruct isn't a weapon. We're not really depriving Fleet of anything. But how are we going to get aboard the ship? And where is it?
We're going to get a contract. A legitimate contract. And there's one up for bid, just posted this morning, in fact. All the Fleet weapons inventory needs recalibration. The word is, they're afraid more traitors like Hearn could have diddled the guidance system's codes. It's such a big job, they've decided to put it out to all qualified consultants with the right clearances, regardless of size. I put in our bid on the way back.
But what if we'd said no to the other job?
Then we'd have had a legitimate job. I bid for the contract in Sector 14 only, giving as a reason our small staff. It was listed as a bonus project because of the distance from Major Nexi. I think we fit that profile very well. And besides, we can dicker with whoever gets it if we don't.
As long as we do get paid.
Oh, we will. The Blood Horde representative is coming tomorrow. Standard first visit negotiations, but I want full security backup. He's likely to turn mean. For all that, he's wearing a suit. He won't know about the other contract, and I'm going to try to get an additional travel and expense budget out of him.
Who else are we taking in on this job?
The Fleet part of it, the usual team. This part, only the three of us. We don't want to share the fee, after all.